Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you for listening again today. I want to talk to you about your testimony. Everyone that is saved, believing that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised again, has a testimony of salvation. Notice with me what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So Paul says, be not ashamed of the testimony. And sometimes I wonder about that. Are people ashamed of their Lord and Savior? Are they ashamed of their testimony? Are they ashamed of Paul? As Paul said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Let's examine the testimony of the Lord. Notice Philippians chapter 2. The idea of Paul instructing Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord has to do with the fact that the testimony of the Lord is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the world at that time that crucified Jesus Christ viewed him as a criminal. Philippians chapter 2 tells us in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, the Jews that crucified Jesus Christ viewed him as a criminal. He was made obedient unto death. The God of creation, the one who put the stars in their sockets, was put to death by the hands of wicked men because he humbled himself knowing that he needed to die on that cross for your sins. Jesus Christ, the man, was not received as God by the world. John chapter 1 says in verse 10, "He was in the world," referring to Jesus Christ, the true light. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Can you imagine the impact of that? The creator of heaven and earth, he came to the world, they wouldn't know him. He came to his own, the Jews, they received him not. It would match the truth of what was prophesied about him in Isaiah chapter 53. Starting in verse 3, we read, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He continues in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Now you think about the terms there. He was esteemed stricken and smitten of God. It said in verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. He was taken from prison and from judgment in verse 8. And in verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. This was a man that was viewed as a failure, as a heretic, as the criminal, as the seditionist. And yet he's the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul claimed is his Savior. This Christ is a curse in Galatians chapter 3. Notice verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So imagine the testimony of the Lord through the mouth of Paul is he's telling the world, he's telling Israel and the Gentiles that a curse is Christ. That a cursed man is the Redeemer and the Savior. That was met with great opposition from those who knew the law. And that's why he says, be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is he humbled himself to be obedient unto death. He died for our sins. He died for sinners. The man the world viewed as the criminal, the reject, the heretic, the afflicted one, is the Savior of all mankind. Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of that testimony. And then he says, nor of me his prisoner. Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3. He writes in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. I've had people say, he was captured by Jesus. He's the prisoner of Jesus. No, Paul was in prison. He was thrown in jail because he said Christ sent him to Gentiles. Now, the religious world already hated Paul for preaching that a cursed man, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, was the God of creation, was the Savior, was the Christ. Adding insult to injury, he then turned around at a point in his ministry and said that the Lord Jesus Christ sent him far hence to the Gentiles. And these Gentiles were also considered cursed by the Jews. And in fact, they were. They were cursed because they didn't bless the seed of Abraham. The idea that God would send a Jew to cursed Gentiles was against the law. But there was a mystery involved that permitted that. He says in verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And what is that mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and on and on. Then Paul's imprisonment was a direct result of him daring to say, Christ sent me to preach to Gentiles. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Do you realize Paul was counted as an evil doer because of his gospel? The gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again, and the gospel of the grace of God that proclaims he died for all men, Jew or Gentile, all men. As a result of preaching that gospel, Paul was accounted as an evildoer. Today, our president is calling those terrorists that attacked us evildoers, and rightfully so. But can you imagine being considered an evildoer for preaching that Christ died for your sins? Paul was. So he said, Timothy, be not ashamed of my testimony. The testimony of the former religious zealot, now giving everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving up everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Philippians chapter 3. After making a list of the things that he could boast in the flesh concerning his religion and his career, he said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul fellowshipped in the sufferings. In fact, he said he filled up that which was behind of the sufferings of Christ in his body. Paul gave up everything he had, a promising career as a Pharisee. He probably would have been on the high council. He had everything to lose when he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he counts it but dung. He would have been considered a fool and a laughingstock for giving up such a promising career and future to follow the teachings of a man who was a curse. And even worse, the teachings Jesus Christ gave him were through revelation of a mystery that he couldn't even show in the scriptures, that Gentiles like you and I could be saved by the gospel. He was considered a heretic and evildoer. Well, he said in Ephesians chapter 3 again, in verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The riches of Christ are not searchable. And then he says in verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." This mystery that Paul is revealing is that all men can be saved, Gentiles, fellow heirs. It caused him to be counted as an evildoer. And so he said, "Be not ashamed of me." Men did not understand this mystery. They opposed it, as they do today. Even in churches today that call themselves Christian, the truth of Paul's epistles is avoided, is twisted and contorted. It's not being preached. Men know nothing about the mystery. Ask somebody sometime, "What do you know about the mystery?" See how they answer you. They'll probably tell you a lot about John or the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They might even know a lot about prophecy in the book of Revelations. Ask them what they know about the mystery revealed to Paul. You know what they're likely to answer? What mystery? I might suggest to you that if they knew it, they'd be ashamed of Paul. In fact, he's regarded by a lot of scholars as anything but an apostle. Well, this apostle suffered to get the truth of the gospel out. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, again he said in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Partaking in the afflictions. Is that what we're doing? You know, one of the problems is we're afraid because we're ashamed of the testimony. There are plenty of people listening to my voice right now that may be saved, and they have a testimony of salvation, and they're ashamed. They're ashamed to say to men, "I have a Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." And to be able and ready to tell men the truth of the gospel of Christ. What they fear is that they will partake of afflictions, that they will suffer affliction. Men don't like to suffer, but Paul suffered to get the gospel to you. Through the sufferings of his flesh, the word of God was fulfilled in order that you can know that Christ died for your sins. Will we not do anything for Christ's sake to suffer to get the truth out? Will we not be a partaker of the afflictions? There's a promise of reward in it. Notice Romans chapter 8. Verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In verse 10, Paul writes, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." And in verse 12, he tells us, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." if we deny him, he also will deny us. And he's talking about denying him suffering, he will deny us rain. That glory, the promise of rain in glory, is ours in Christ Jesus if we suffer with him. Salvation is ours, but the reward to reign with him is for those who partake in the afflictions, who will suffer for Christ's sake. How are they going to suffer? I don't mean physical pain and ailments necessarily. I'm talking about suffering afflictions because you live godly by preaching the truth, by standing for the word of God rightly divided. It's the afflictions of the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Well, I've already told you that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it's the power of God unto salvation. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, the good news that Christ died for your sins, "it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And at that time, Paul went to the Jew first and to the Greek. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Notice in verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The power of God is the gospel of Christ. God's power to save anyone today is in them believing the gospel that Christ died for their sins. Well, how are they going to hear this gospel? It's to everyone that believeth. It was to the Jew first and also to the Greek at that time. But now, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, God will have all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We read in Ephesians 3 that Paul's ministry was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. How are men going to hear this truth if we don't tell them? And it's not like preachers are the only ones that are going to get this message out. If it was up to the few that preach the truth, very little of this earth is ever going to hear the gospel. There's a handful of preachers compared to the rest of the world anyway. The percentage of those preachers in the world today that are preaching the gospel is smaller yet. In fact, that number is decreasing because more and more men are willing to preach for gain, supposing that gain is godliness. But that's not what Christ called us to do. He called us to preach the truth. And Paul said, "With much tribulation we should enter into the kingdom of God." I don't see tribulation occurring in these mega churches with all these big resources. I'm glad they have the resources to help people in need, but they're not preaching the truth. They're preaching conditional salvation at best and prosperity gospel at worst. Nowhere in there is the fear of God, is the fear with trembling that we're going to stand before God to give an account of the things we say. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, we don't follow Paul. We're ashamed of Paul and of his testimony. We would rather preach the red letter words of Jesus in Matthew, not understanding that every word in the Bible is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want a red letter edition, every word should be read. Well, the writings of Paul are the words of Jesus Christ, and they're the words of Jesus Christ written to you. You can't keep the things of Matthew. They were not written to you. They're written for our admonition and learning, because all scripture is. But you can't carry the doctrine of Matthew. Are you going to keep the commandments and sell everything you have and endure to the end and love not your lives to the death? You're not doing any of those things. Why don't you get saved and get busy with the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Olivia's crying, tears from her heart broken too. Olivia's running, am I telling her the truth? No matter how she pleads, that heart of stone won't listen to her. Nobody died for me, she says with anger blowing through her. She doesn't know God's peace. Olivia's crying, sad, sad tears of pain. Olivia's hurting. Yesterday her mama passed away. So many times she begged her girl to put her trust in Jesus, but mama knew she never did. If only she'd believe. Olivia's crying. Olivia's crying. Olivia's Olivia's crying, tears of joy she can't keep in. Olivia's feeling the sweet release of pardon sin. She just surrendered to the ransom Jesus paid to save her by trusting in the perfect sacrifice the Father gave her. She's so glad to be redeemed. Olivia's crying. Olivia's crying. Olivia's crying. Olivia's crying. Olivia's crying, 'cause someday she'll see Mama once again.
Mama. We need to know our salvation testimony. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Paul writes, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things." Don't divorce these statements from one another. Paul is suffering the things he suffered because he was appointed to be a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. People can't seem to get it straight in their mind that the Jews had no intention of ever dealing with Gentiles unless they were servants. Well, back to verse 12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul knew his Savior. He knew whom he had believed. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't mean know him historically. I don't mean know him as the Jesus of Matthew that went around healing the sick and cleansing the lepers. I mean, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again for your justification, and that he paid for all your sins, and you are going to live eternally with him in heaven, not by your works of righteousness, but according to his mercy and grace? Do you know that? And not just the words I'm talking about, but you believed on him. You're trusting in him totally and completely to deliver your never dying soul from hell and bring you into glory. If you know that and you have a testimony, why don't you proclaim it? Do you desire to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery? If you died tonight, saved, a saved individual, would your family and friends know and have the comfort of knowing that you're in glory with the Lord seated at his own right hand? Or would they be left in doubt of it because you never shared your testimony? I preached the funeral of my grandmother, and I talked to her about the Lord several times. Never could get a testimony out of her. She said that's personal. Then when she died, I preached her funeral, and I had to admit to them, I did not know where she was. She did not give me the testimony, and I preached the gospel. I praise God for the opportunity. But not until a relative came up to me and told me that my grandmother had shared with her testimony, did I even know she had a Savior. And that was a great comfort to me to realize that my grandmother did have Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Don't let that be the situation with you. You don't know when you're going to go. If you're saved, tell everybody that you can, especially your family. But tell everyone you can, you have a Savior, that you're saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be prepared to share that. It's the most powerful tool we have to get the gospel out. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. When you speak the words of your testimony, the power of God is in those words that can convict the heart of another person who may hear your testimony and your circumstances and realize, well, if God could save him, he could save me. Now, if you're lost this morning and you hear my voice right now, you need a testimony. You can be saved right now by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and turning your salvation over to him. You could have the testimony of saying, I got saved listening to some knucklehead preacher, but he shared with me the gospel of Christ. Won't you trust him right now? Thank you. You've been listening to Believing the Bible. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.